Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our text is the gospel for today in Luke chapter 15. I begin by telling you that Gail and I have often cared for our grandsons during the week, and the youngest is Reese. He's now 4. But when we would have him all day, just before his mother would come to pick him up, we'd say to Reese, "Now go and hide." And he would hide behind a chair, or he would get under a table. And Sarah would walk in, and we'd say, "Reese is hiding." And she would say, "Oh, Reese, where are you? I'm looking for you, Reese." And with that, he comes out from behind the chair or from under the table, and he'd say, "Here I am." So he didn't play the game correctly. People today are often scared and alone, feeling insignificant, angry, and lost. I think of some of the mass shootings that have taken place in our great country recently. I believe that many of these shootings are done by people with these feelings. And what we hear in the media is that there is a strong, encouraging word to take away guns. And the NRA stands up and says, "Guns don't kill people, people kill people." And then there are those who say the problem is mental illness. And it's true that in every state, almost, the care of the mentally ill has greatly decreased. And then there are those who say it's the fault of video games that are violent. And others say it's violent TV and movies. But you know, there's one thing that's never, ever heard on the media, and that is this. The problem is that people are sinful and are feeling alone and lost. How are we to address that? People who are doing these shootings are, in a way, saying, "Here I am. Notice me. I want to count." People like this need to be found by Jesus, who will forgive their angry and troubled and hateful and lonely hearts and make them new with a completely different attitude and outlook on life. We older people can often feel insignificant and alone. I think of myself. How many of you are like me? You have no idea how to work a smartphone. You don't know how to consult an app. You don't even know how to work an ATM. And so you might wonder, where do I fit in? The world seems to be passing me by, and I am not catching up. These same people might also observe this modern world in which we live. So much of what we thought was wrong in our youth is now considered good and right. And so much of what we thought was good and right is now considered wrong. What does God say to us who feel like that? He says, "I still love you. You are mine. You are still important. You fit in. You have a purpose that I can lead you to serve." I can think of the many people who have worked at jobs for many, many years, only to be given a pink slip when they least expect it, and they're out of a job because a robot has taken over, or because the job has been sent overseas. And now they're unemployed, and they wonder, what am I going to do now? Does God have a purpose for me still? And sure enough, he does. There are many others who are ill and feel discouraged that they cannot do the things that they used to do. They need Jesus to share his presence with them and to assure them that they're still loved and that there is hope for a better tomorrow. But how do all of these healing actions and words of God become part of our life? Recently on the news, I saw a clip of a little boy with autism who was brought to school by his mother. First day of school, she leaves him at the end of the sidewalk, and he's walking to the school. A camera is focused on him, and he is crying. He obviously is afraid. He's walking into something completely new. A little African-American boy, maybe slightly older, sees the tears of this little autistic boy, walks up to him and grabs his hand and walks with him into the class. That's what we're talking about. That's the love of Christ reaching out to someone who feels lost. Anne Lamott is an author, and she once met a young man with AIDS. She talked with him and found out that he feels so shameful. He feels untouchable. And one day she was in church and so was he. They weren't sitting together, but the congregation was about to sing a hymn. Everyone stood up. And this young man with AIDS was so weak, he could not stand up, but he wanted to. The woman who was sitting next to him recognized that desire that he had. And she lifted him up, and he was able to lean against her. And together, they sang the hymn. That kind woman reached out with the love of Jesus and touched this young man who felt so lost, so hopeless, and made him feel loved. My brother was listening to this very story as it was related on a radio program. And as he listened to the radio, he looked out his back window and he saw a bird struggling in a tree. And so Tom went out to watch more closely to see what was going on. And he noticed that the bird's leg was entangled in a string. And the only connection that that bird had to the tree was the string. Tom went into his garage to get a scissors. And he was going to be the great rescuer. He went out close to that bird, and the mother bird dive bombed him repeatedly. But Tom was determined, and he took that scissors and cut that string. And that little bird joined his mother and flew away. What the world needs now is an active church that knows the forgiveness of sins, that knows personally the love of Jesus Christ and the hope that is ours because of Him. That is the answer to those who are struggling with feeling lost. Herb Brokering, who is a Lutheran writer, was with his wife in a tour group, and they were in Germany Easter weekend. And they were standing on a street corner, and they looked up on a hill, much like Chambers Street, where I live, and they saw this woman on a bicycle hurtling down the hill. She stopped at the base of the hill where they were, and they decided that they wanted to share with her the good news of Easter, and so they handed her a card that said, "Christ is risen." Herb Brokering, thinking that she is German and can't read English, translated it and said, "Christus ist auferstanden." And the woman said, "I know he is. And he's alive and well in every nook and cranny of this village." She said that in English. That's a village that I would love to live in. And so, our text includes a happy ending much like that. The lost sheep is found. The lost coin is found again. And so there is much rejoicing when people who are lost and sinful and alone can be assured that they are forgiven because of Jesus. Gerhard Frost, in his book of meditations, writes about a powerful businessman who happened to be traveling, and he was in the part of a country that he was not familiar with. He was lost. And so he was looking around for someone to ask directions of, and he saw a little boy. He walked up to the little boy and he said, "Where is Dover?" And the little boy looked up at him and said, "I don't know." So then the man said, "How about Painesville? Where is Painesville?" The little boy, quite fearful, and he looked up at the man and he said, "I don't know." And the man looked down at that little boy and said, "You don't know much, do you?" And the little boy, standing alongside that man in front of a house that had a light on in the front window, it was his house, he said, "No, I don't know much, but I'm not lost." And that's the fate that you and I have. We have been touched by the Holy Spirit. We have come to know by God's grace that Jesus is our friend. He's our Lord and Savior. He takes us by the hand, and He walks with us out of those dark and lonely places and times. And He uses us to share that hopeful good news. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stand for the offertory?